In the brand new book, Dear Bi Men, author, peer counselor, and creator of the hashtag Bisexual Men Speak, J.R. Youssef offers an unapologetic guide for readers who are Black, Mask, and Bi. The book features cutting social analysis, personal stories, and reclaims Bi plus visibility in a culture of erasure. It also offers practical feedback on how to unlearn internalized biphobia and homophobia, fight back against erasure and stigma, navigate sex, dating, partnerships, marriage, friendship, and much more. It's available now wherever books are sold. North Atlantic Books is offering listeners 25% off plus free shipping. Purchase Dear Bi Men at www.northatlanticbooks.com and use code CURIOUS25 at checkout for 25% off and free shipping. U.S. mailing address required.
Darling, I was on a vacation recently and stayed at an Airbnb, and then I realized that while I was away, my empty house could be making money, honey. If you're someone like me that is busy and not home all the time, your home could be an Airbnb, and it's actually pretty simple to get started. Even if you don't have a whole house, you could start with just a spare room. Personally, I really enjoy staying at Airbnbs. I really do. I love a good Airbnb. Who is that? Come back, British you. And it really is a great way to like support local economy and support local people. So Airbnb is fabulous. And I know I was doing my British voice earlier, but we love Airbnb. So think about what you could do with some extra cash, whether you're looking to treat yourself to something nice, like a shopping spree or a spa day, or start a whole side hustle. Airbnb can help you be that person. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like two-bedroom suite instead of a one-bedroom suite, so you're like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room, so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys's room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, do try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
It's Pride Month, you guys, and in honor of Gorgeous Pride Month, I want to help you guys find some gorgeous, queer, fabulous podcasts right here at Earwolf that you may not know about. First off, I want to talk about Queery. She is a gorgeous, intimate conversation podcast where Cameron Esposito, who's an amazing stand-up comic, will sit down with some of the brightest luminaries in the LGBTQ family. She's had Margaret Cho, Lena Waithe, Jill Soloway, Roxanne Gay, Trixie Mattel, Tegan and Sarah. The list goes on and on, you guys. The show explores individual stories of identity, personality, and shifting cultural matrix around gender, sexuality, and civil rights. So really, you know, it's Pride Month. Celebrate it. Subscribe to Queery on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcast to. Get it together and listen to Queery. Welcome to Getting Curious. I'm Jonathan Van Ness, and every week I sit down for a 30-minute conversation with a brilliant expert to learn all about something that makes me curious. This week, I'm curious about English and American English. What's the diff? So I'm speaking to illusionist, podcast host, words expert, and English person, Helen Zaltzman. You guys, you know that I live for a British moment about harder than I live for anything. And we've got gorgeous Helen Zaltzman, host of the Illusionist podcast. I said your last name right.
Absolutely perfectly.
Oh, my, thank God.
Thank you very much.
So you are a podcast host extraordinaire and a British person slash word enthusiast.
Yes.
And recap. What the Illusionist podcast is for the children.
Okay, and for the adults, because a lot of them have not heard it either. So it's kind of like an entertainment show about language and how we use it and why. And I guess because a lot of people are like, that's a bit niche. But language is a tool that pretty much everyone alive participates in, and we're pretty good at it without having to think about it. And then when you think about it, you're like, that's weird. Or often, that's terrible. So it's just unpicking these things.
So one thing that I always thought was is that maybe a Southern accent, like a Southern American accent, is really just like a British accent that like got brought over on a ship and then like gone south and like drank a lot of like summer wine on like the porch and got really caught up in a lot of like severely messed up race stuff. And that's how their accent turned into their accent. Like, right? Like, isn't she just like a slow British accent?
That's a really interesting question. I often hear that Irish accents sound more similar to American ones. But I think what happens is you go over somewhere, there's an ocean between you, 300 years later, you're talking pretty different.
And that's what it is.
It's what it is. It's what we've ended up with.
Well, one thing Tan taught me, and I thought for sure he was lying, but he wasn't. But because it's XYZ.
Yes.
What's up with that?
We just have to be different.
Is that really it?
I think I haven't researched that one, but I should, because when I'm in the States, my name starts with Z's. And I'm saying Z because I'm on your turf. But at home, we'd say Z.
You would say like, my name starts with Z.
Yeah.
When you're saying Z.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. You look really disappointed in me.
Well, no, but it's just cray cray. Like, I just can't believe that it's. So when did it all go wrong for you guys? Like, when did it happen?
I know. Well.
Have you always been that way?
Well, just kind of obstinate and stuck in our ways just for the sake of it.
Because, like, of all the differences, there's, like, color.
Yes.
And then there's,
theater,
like.
Yep. Aluminium.
Which is a really. I find that one very. As a Brit myself, I really cannot imagine why my people have decided to say aluminium. It doesn't make any sense at all.
We just like wasting time on that extra syllable.
And then your mouths. Is that what it is?
Our stupid mouths.
It's not your stupid mouths. I love your guys' mouths. But like, but is it because like in yoga, I learned that we have like 5 palettes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you guys use like the front ones or something?
Probably like half of one. And we're like, we don't need the other ones. Let's leave that to people who are more interested in exploring things.
But why does your, why is it?
Why do our mouths work so badly?
Yeah, no, not badly. Like, what is it? Tell me, you're the expert. Tell me about it.
So part of it is just the fact that like when you put geography in between things, they evolve differently, which is why Borneo has a lot of unique wildlife because it split off from continental masses early. And English exported itself to lots of different countries. And I use the word exported as if there wasn't a lot of violence and problems involved. And the USA was one such place. And then at home, it does continue evolving as well, but slightly differently. And you've got these different cultural influences. And then with things like the word colour, which you have removed the U, and an excellent minimalising choice because you don't need it. But in Britain, when they try to take out those sort of historical things that say, oh, this word, we got it when France invaded our country, people are like, well, we don't want to modernize that word. We're going to keep the history in. But in America, you don't have to think about that history.
So you guys have you in color because France invaded Britain?
Yeah, but then weirdly, we also have like...
When did France invade?
Oh, 1066.
Way long ago. Very like Game of Thrones realness.
Yeah, we're still pissed off about it.
And so they were like, color...
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, you're putting a U in this word now.
Yeah.
France is in charge. Yeah.
And they spoke French then too in 1066?
Okay.
Or was it like a different...
So when they got there in 1066, there wasn't really England yet. It was lots of different kingdoms. People were speaking different languages.
It was really like straight up Game of Thronesy, wasn't it? Like, wasn't like where George R. R. Martin got some of his like... It was like from like that period,
yeah.
I think.
A lot of dragons. A lot of sexual violence. And but it was a language born of invasion.
Why did
already.
I laugh when you said sexual violence? It's not funny.
I think probably just to try and lighten the mood because I said sexual violence. I'm so sorry.
No,
Jonathan. What have I done?
Nothing.
So I've been.
No, you're doing everything. I'm obsessed with you.
So about a thousand years before that, the Romans invaded Britain. Right. So before that, a thousand years before the French. Right. Romans invaded Britain
in 66.
In like, well, like, you know, around naught AD. Although people will be like,
about
there is
what
no
AD?
There is no naught AD. There is no zero AD.
That's like another British. That's like another naught. British word.
What do you not say naught in American?
No, darling. I've never heard that word in my life.
Treat yourself to it one day. It might
what
be
does
useful.
It mean?
Just nothing or zero.
Girl.
Do you say fortnight?
Of course. I learned that at Wimbledon.
What else have you learned from Tan?
Well, I learned Fortnite from Wimbledon, not Tan.
Yeah, Wimbledon, Fortnite.
What else have I learned? Because Fortnite's 2 weeks, right?
And it's useful because when people say bi-weekly, you're like, do you mean twice a week or every 2 weeks?
Well, bi-weekly means that's every 2 weeks.
But sometimes it's twice a week. Whereas fortnight, you're like,
no,
every
twice
2 weeks,
a week means
it.
Twice a week is actually twice a week. And bi-weekly is every other week.
Okay. So you've got it sorted. If only everyone else was on the Van Ness plan for bi-weekly.
Wait, Tan taught me, well, other than like how to just, well, obsession. Tan taught me about obsession.
Uh-huh.
He taught me about like, grief, because like he won't be in a throuple with me and his husband.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So he's taught me about grief. He's taught me about like loss, just, you know, in general, like longing, because there's no way for me to like physically like sew him on myself.
Are you sure there's no way?
I've tried. It's like so painful and I'm not really into pain.
Could you get like a kind of sling or harness to encase him in?
Oh my God. Like a full, like, frontal baby sling, would die. I need Tanny and a full baby sling more than I've ever needed anything in my entire life. He taught me about Zed. He really, really is rude to me about my British accent, which I just think is so fucking rude.
How's his American accent?
According to him, great. He can say cheeseburger and like color and like tan really well in an American accent.
That's enough to get by.
It's not as great as he thinks it is.
I think a lot of Brits' American accents not as great as they think they are because it's a really difficult accent because our mouths don't work.
Whereas my British accent really is fierce.
I'm enjoying it very much.
But I mean, it jumps around. I don't really know where she's from. I take a little bit from where I need to take it from to get from one word to the next.
Sure.
But the point is that my commitment is everything. You know what I don't like?
I
don't fucking like it when British people low-key roll their eyes at me or think that I'm annoying when I do my British accent because I am just trying to connect and I love to do a British accent. I played Tiny Tim in A Christmas Story when I was six. That's what, and I met this lady at this department store getting swim trunks with my grandma who had a British accent when I was like six, and I was obsessed with her. And so I have a great British accent and I just want to use it sometimes. And I don't like it when British people are like offended by that or think that I'm like impersonating them or like don't understand that it's genius.
I think maybe we're trying to be cool about our excitement that you've bothered to learn it. Could that be it?
No, it's not what it feels. I mean, you're like, honestly, it's probably because of the podcast that you host and you're just used to exploring all of this stuff. But like, your reception is one of the warmest.
I find it quite flattering when American friends do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because most British people, I feel like that I do it too forcefully, can't stop doing it, think it's kind of annoying.
Oh, well, they don't know how lucky they are.
Really?
Yeah, but, you know, now I think about it, I think, but if I came in and did an American accent at you, would you find it insulting?
Not if it was awesome.
No, it would be terrible.
Well, do you want to explore that?
No, I really, I plan never to do an American
accent.
Well,
I'll do British. I'll do British for, like, the next few minutes and just do a bit of an American one.
I'll carry on doing British.
All right.
And we're all safe.
And I'll just join.
I don't have a big accent wardrobe to step into. I'm so sorry.
Honestly, well, what about lying on air? Have you ever made a conscious decision not to lie on air? Because I think you might have just told a fib. I think you've
I
got
can
to
do two other accents. I can do South African because my dad's South African.
I can do a really good South African sentence.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Jonathan Van Ness and I'm from Johannesburg, South Africa.
It sounds a bit more Australian.
No!
You just need to get your vowels a little more clipped. My name is Jonathan Van Ness and I'm from Johannesburg.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm really off.
Now I wonder whether I've just insulted every South African person.
Well, your British accent's really, like, strong. It's really... Where are you from?
I'm from a town called Tunbridge Wells, which is about 40 miles south of London.
South?
Yes.
So you're by Dover somewhere?
It is nearish Dover.
I love those cliffs.
There's some very gorgeous cliffs, but the thing is, the people of Tunbridge Wells, their attitude towards those cliffs is that immigrants are scrambling over them all the time.
Wells in the Dover County very Brexit?
It was mega Brexit.
Mega Brexit.
Yeah.
So London's kind of more like probably more LA-ish.
Yeah, London is a big multicultural city.
Yeah.
Which is excellent.
What about Brighton?
Brighton is like our Portland.
And then what about...
It's eccentric.
And then what about Manchester?
Manchester is... What would be the equivalent of Manchester?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly or Pittsburgh maybe. So like somewhere that has like had some rough times in the 20th century, but also is quite cool, has a lot of local culture of its own.
And then what about... Well, actually, one time I went to Amsterdam on a solo trip when I was 20, and the hostel that I stayed at, I walked in and there was this... really, really loud sex happening on this bunk bed from this
in
couple
the same
from
room.
Yep, and this couple from Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they were German, but really they were British, and their accent was so different and so guttural and deep.
Well, that might have been because of the sex having.
No, like the actual talking after the really uncomfortable sex. Because like I walked in and I was like, oh, holy shit! There was like. Asses and legs, and I was like 20, and he was like, and now I'm not size shaming on any form here, but he was like every inch of like 5'2" to her every inch of her like 5'11", and he was like this soccer player wily little bloke, and she was just like in all her tall Amazonian glory, and I just, my eyes were not ready for what I saw, which was a lot.
Could they ever be ready for people having sex in your hostel?
In the hostel, and I'm like, there's twin beds everywhere, and you're like in a sleeping bag. Like, honestly.
Wow, they must have been super into it.
They were so into it. Wasn't my accent like glorious that whole time?
I was extremely impressed.
So, like, feedback.
Yeah.
Like, how can am I putting too much on it? Not enough? Like, am I going too all over? Like, what's my problem? Because you know what else Tan did? He fucking, and I'm so not over this, Tan, and if you're listening to this, which I'm sure you aren't, because you probably don't listen this far deep into my podcast, even though I appreciate you posting them on your Insta story, but not to call you out in public.
A little bit to call him out in public.
Oopsie. But he had the fucking nerve to say that Bobby's British accent on this interview. We were on this interview and it was in front of everyone. He said that Bobby's British accent was better than mine, which is categorically absolutely false. He only said it to hurt me. And Bobby, if you're listening to this, let's all just agree that my British accent is the strongest, even including Tan's probably. I don't have ego about much, but I do have ego about my British accent. She's gorgeous.
I think what you need to work out is which Brit you want to be, because at the moment you're a fairly posh Brit.
And maybe that's not my truth.
Maybe it's not your truth.
Who am I? Am I more north? Am I more south? Did my family not have a lot? So I'm a little, am I a little rougher? What? Am I Cockney?
Oh, you could treat yourself to some Cockney. You know what?
I don't think I'm right good at Cockney. I don't think I know how to say it right.
There are probably some YouTube tutorials. I think maybe you could explore a bit of West Country, which is like a very... mellow, warm accent. It's quite relaxed sounding. I think you'd enjoy some of the sounds. It's quite a unique sound.
I actually feel quite relaxed even just thinking about it. West Country. Who's a West Country actor that I might know that I can emulate?
That's a good question. Who is a West Country actor?
Collie Wally, it's your moment. Come on.
Pulling a face. Is it because people from the West Country have to erase their accents in showbiz?
Collie Wally won't talk on Getting Curious because it raises his producer rate, so he won't. he refuses to share his voice. He's very like Wilson in Home Improvement. Like
Wilson in Castaway.
Yeah, or no, Wilson in Home Improvement, the neighbor. He wouldn't show his face all the way.
Why? Because then they had to pay him for...
No, I think he got paid... I think the urban legend was that he got paid more for not showing his face.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Columbo.
So, oh my God. So, okay, that was 15 minutes. We'll be right... Colin, just always just setting boundaries with me every time I turn around. We'll be right back with more on British and American English right after the break. Even when you try to maintain a healthy diet, it can be hard to get all the nutrients your body needs for long-term health. Care of is a monthly subscription vitamin service made from effective, quality ingredients that are personally tailored to your exact needs. Their fun online quiz, which asks about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices, makes it really easy to figure out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. It didn't take long at all, and it really gave me some insight into some questions that I had about myself, which is great. I love that story. Take her. And then I just, got these little pills, and I took them, and I feel great. Hair looks great. Skin looks great. Super easy to do. Super easy to maintain. Honey, why don't you want to take care of yourself? I love Care of. She's everything. No more worrying about replacing multiple bottles when you run out, because your subscription box includes a 30-day supply of individually wrapped packets for easy grab and go. All for about 20% less than similar brands at local drug and health food stores. Yes! For 25% off of your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter curious. Again, that's takecareof.com, enter curious for 25% off of your first month of personalized vitamins. Y'all, that's a gorgeous deal. Run, don't walk. Love ya. See you later. Mean it. Bye. Ooh, it's time for advertisements with Casper Mattress. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Girl, you heard that right. One night at a time. There are three mattress models. You got the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential. Girl, these Casper mattresses are everything. Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Girl, you better cradle them hips and them shoulders. Ooh, it feels so nice. Just fall asleep in your new Casper mattress. Not to mention, that breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. I'm so getting this for my mom. Sorry, I'm busting you out. She has menopause. And also, like, the box that this thing comes to your house in, like, I don't know what kind of, like, Harry Potter magic they're doing in there, but this little baby mattress, she can be so big, but then she just gets so small in this little box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. I love Justin Trudeau. But the best part is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. What? Oh my God. No, this actually is really, really cute, guys. So, you know how like when you want to impulse buy a new thing, but you're like, what if I hate her? Like, what if I do? That's a thing. You could hate it. Well, with Casper mattresses, you get to try a 100-night free trial, risk-free, and you can return her if you hate it. And after all, 1/3 of your life is spent sleeping. So shouldn't you be a comfortable baby? I think so. So get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper.com/curious and using curious at checkout. So don't forget to use that curious at checkout, honey. Now that's Casper.com/curious. Offer code is curious. For $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions do apply. Also, I'm looking for a job as a part-time side effect and medication advertisements reader. So we're getting curious. Welcome back to Getting Curious. This is Jonathan Van Ness. And basically, we're just going on an exploration of like how the English language has changed. And yeah. I think one place where we were talking, but I got distracted because
of
a
naught
nightmare.
I said the word naught.
Yes.
And it was
take me back to six. Take me back to 06.
Yeah. It was like dropping a grenade in the middle of our conversation. So the Romans invaded around, I can't remember,
like
55 AD, something like that. And they brought Latin into the country. So whatever the fuck people were talking before that, they weren't really writing it down anyway. It wasn't preserved. Tiny bits of that have like seeped into other things. And then around 500 AD, the Vikings invade and they bring like all their Viking language.
So the Romans like brought like ships and stuff. Like they invaded
they brought ships. They built a lot of very straight roads.
And they conquered it? Like they, air quote?
They did a lot of conquering.
They conquered the shit out of it
they
is what your face is telling me.
They conquered the shit out of Britain, most of Europe,
but there wasn't
North
really,
Africa.
But there wasn't really anyone like already ruling in the UK at the time. Like she was just kind of this like island and no one was.
Well, there were lots of little kingdoms inside the island. It was lots of different countries. They're probably beating the shit out of each other. But then the Romans came. They're like, this is ours now. If you want to have power, you speak Latin. And that attitude has remained a really long time. Then the Roman Empire kind of diminished about 400 years later. Then the Vikings invaded. They brought, like, Norse. And then 500 AD, like, Germanic forces invaded. And then the Vikings. So they all left language there. So we've got all these different influences already. And then the French invaded. So it's like, okay, we speak Latin for, the, like, power things. And we speak French to be fancy. And the kind of Norsey.
And the French
English
you said
stuff.
Were 1066.
1066, very good.
So by 1066, you had had like a lot of
invasions.
Roman,
yeah.
Germanic, which is Germany-ish. Is
yeah, that Germany-ish, what that? But again, lots of different countries at the time, all coming in, bringing their language with them, the Vikings, like a lot of violence. And then, yeah, you've got the French. So most of the words we use are descended from Latin, but a lot of the, so like the words we use for meat, like it's a pig, which is an old English word, but we say pork, which is the French word, because you're like, okay, well, people who farm pigs, they're speaking old English, which is like a commoner's language. But then if you're eating the meat, then you're fancier, so you give it the French name. So there's lots of stuff like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Meat.
So when did, like, Elizabeth's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa be like, bye, French, like, we're English now?
Oh, well...
Do you know when that happened? I know that's, like, not, like, your necessarily, like, your thing, but I just... But that question did just come to me.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think around, and this is just, like, reaching into my brain for things I learned in the early 90s at school, would be in the 13, 1400s. It really went back and forth for hundreds of years. Bit of a problem. Shakespeare plays about it.
There was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, so Henry V, there's a Kenneth Branagh film of him making speeches in France that are very patriotic speeches, and people still wheel them out today to show how great Britain is, and that's a bit depressing. But you have to reach back that like far. 600 years.
Well, Churchill was fierce.
He used to wear onesies to work. He used to wear pinstripe onesies.
Okay.
Made out of velour.
Well, that sounds fabulous.
It's an interesting form of power dressing.
Yeah, I wonder what Tan would say. I don't know.
I think it's an interesting nexus of like the smart dressing and casual comfort.
Wait, what's hypercorrection?
Oh, so hypercorrection is when you are worried about being incorrect, and so you think you are following all the rules and actually you're being wrong. So if you said, I went to lunch with Colin and I don't know. I've formed a bad sentence there already. If you said Helen came and recorded with Colin and I, it should be me, because you wouldn't say Helen came and recorded with I, you would say me. But because people think you have to say and I because it's posher, because if you said Colin and me went to lunch, people were like, no, Jonathan, it's Colin and I. You're the subject of that sentence. So that's what hypercorrection is. I've explained it badly.
No, I get it.
Yeah. You've scrambled the rules. So your intention is to be the most correct, and actually you fucked it for yourself.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Because, you know, when I went to school, like, they did away with, like, all that grammar stuff.
Yeah, I didn't learn it either.
Yeah, we just didn't really have it. It was more about, like, communicating or, like, writing or something.
Oh, wow. What was it like to be taught to communicate? Because we were not taught that.
Well, no, not. Like, no, but I mean just, like, communicating as far as, like, fucking, like, writing stuff down on a piece of paper. Not, like, why you're saying the words that you were saying.
Wouldn't it be so useful to understand really the point behind it, rather than just like, don't do this and put a comma here.
Which is really a lot about like what your podcast is about. It's like why we use words.
Yeah.
Like, so what have you learned? What in this crazy world that we live in, this like post-Brexit, you know, Trump world? Because actually the reason that I even had the idea for this podcast is I was driving home this one day, and it isn't British really at all, but it was the idea of like, why do we use words? And like, and when we hear news stories, like, why do newscasters and certain news organizations use certain phrases? And so the Mohammed bin Salman had come here from Saudi Arabia, and he was doing this like big tour of like Silicon Valley and then Hollywood, because he wants to bring like theaters and movies to Saudi Arabia, because he wants to like modernize Saudi Arabia. And on NPR, this reporter was saying that his trip was seen in the world as like a, and I'm quoting here, like a political success. And I was thinking to myself, like, what dog does NPR have in this fight of like calling this a political success? And then I was thinking about how on CNN, when we just, you know, reading headlines or reading headlines from Fox or Huffington Post, just wherever you're reading something from, like, what is the intent behind the words that we're reading and why do they use them? And so that was like originally, I was like, and I was like, so in your, what, so everything that you've learned from your podcast in this like crazy world, like, what do you think people need to know about like reading and communication and saying what we, well, actually, not even so much saying what we mean, but deciphering what we hear to get to the, to make our own truth.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? And also understanding other people's truth, because we think that language is this fixed thing. And actually, it's not at all. It's just this series of kind of compromises and weird decisions people made or didn't even realize they were making. And we all have a tacit understanding of it. And we assume that other people have that same understanding, but that is an assumption. And therefore, you're just always having to negotiate with someone else, just trying to figure out whether they mean what you think they mean, and vice versa. So understanding that is a useful step, because then at least you leave some room for a failure of interpretation or something else. I think one thing I've learned in the 3.5 years that I've been doing the show, I was just interested in how language worked before and the sort of weird paths words took to get from this kind of mess of Romans and French and whatever to words we use now, because a lot of it is not logical. And then what I realized eventually was that the show is about empathy, because you are being manipulated by words you see all the time on news or in papers or whatever. And I did this episode a while ago about words that they use, particularly in British newspapers, to describe migrants. And they will use very dehumanizing words like swarms and deliberately things to stigmatize, and then things that are incorrect as well, like illegal refugees. And you can't be an illegal refugee. Everyone has the right to seek refugee status. And
yeah, like seek safety.
Yeah.
And swarms is like hornets,
yes,
or bees, or yeah, like an animal. It's like,
yeah,
very dehumanizing.
Yeah, or migrants are flooding the country. You're like, well, that's not even human. But by taking away the individualism, it means people are more likely to be angry at migrants than what our government is doing. It's a much easier scapegoat. So then when you're vigilant about those things, I think you can learn firstly to be kinder to the people who are being dehumanized by that language, and secondly, just to be more thoughtful in your own use.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've taken this to a depressing...
No, that's exactly where I wanted to go. Kind of. I mean, really, that's where I wanted to go. So what else? Like, what else in your experience in hosting this podcast and learning about words, what advice can you give to people who are having trouble deciphering words or spotting bullshit or like having issues thinking critically? Because a lot of times, like, when I'll read things and I'm like, I will get so upset. I'll be like halfway through making a tweet about it where I'm like, wait a minute. And like, where did this news story come from? What dog do I have in this fight?
Yes.
Like, how much do I really need to take what I just read and like hold that on me and carry this with me through the day and really have it like inform what I'm going to say? Or, you know, even the conversations I have with myself, like some things that are just like hard to read or like, you know, upsetting on the news, and like you carry that with you all day. So just knowing how to kind of like shut that down and take it for what it's worth. Like, what have you learned about this?
I guess one thing would be to not tweet it instantly, but come back to it a few hours later and see if you still agree with the way you wrote it when you were emotional about it and all fired up about it. But also when you're reading these news sources, to be like, okay, what is the actual information that they're imparting? Where are the facts there? Because sometimes it will be a source close to Mariah Carey said this thing about Mariah Carey. You're like, okay, a source could just be like a glove puppet that you're wearing that you said this thing.
They got like $7,500 for saying said thing that's like not even true. Like, they just like, because who even knows like what that source close to them like got in return for saying that thing?
Totally. Or, you know, if the source close to them is just someone who saw a poster of them one day, then you might as well just invent that source. So there's lots of ways where you just like, what's the information? How has it been edited? Who said it and in what circumstances? But I mean, I think at the moment people have conditioned themselves not to trust anything, but in the wrong way. They're not trusting it in order to make whatever they want fit their narrative. Whereas before it was just like really trying to find the truth rather than our individual picture of the truth.
Which is kind of, it's like, feels like fake newsy.
Fake newsy, Jonathan.
Yeah. That's like what it is. Like being able to tell like if it's real or not. So in The Baby Illusionist, what are some like other interesting like stories of words?
Oh, okay. There was, there's a woman called Lynn Murphy who specializes in the difference between US and British English. And she lives and works in Britain, but she's from the US. And she told me that the way that Americans and Brits use the word please is very different. And Brits will just throw it in all over the place because we're trying to be polite and deprecating whatever. And in the US, that can come across as very passag. And since she said that, I was like, oh, shit, I've been inadvertently kind of passag and insulting to
What's
people.
What's passag?
Passive aggressive.
Oh.
So in Britain, say if you were ordering a sandwich, say, please, could I have a sandwich? And in America, that might sound a little bossy.
Oh, like, please, can I have a sandwich? Yeah.
Why have you not brought me this sandwich that you didn't know I wanted until this instant?
Or it's like, can I have a sandwich, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Or like, can I have a sandwich?
Yeah. But in Britain, it'd be, if you said it without please, then it'd be really rude. So I was like, ah, shit. So now whenever I'm ordering something in America, I'm like, how do I make this polite without using please? But now I can't think of any words other than please.
And then so, you just can't stop saying it.
And now I just say thank you about a million times. And thank you. Could I have a thank you sandwich? Thanks.
You guys were talking about in that episode about how, like, after the Revolutionary War, because, like, obviously, like, a lot of, like, British people came to the 13 colonies, and then the Revolutionary War happened, and then the UK left. And so there wasn't as much immigration between, like, the UK and the United States in the years following the Revolutionary War. Like, Canada was a more attractive option because, like, they hadn't just had a war with them.
They hadn't told us, like, pretty sternly to fuck off. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. We needed to, like, set a boundary. Get over it. I'm sorry. Like,
it was a hard breakup.
It was a hard breakup.
Took took it badly.
You really took it badly.
Yeah.
The fucking king. Although I have to say, Lin-Manuel gave him such gorgeous songs in Hamilton. Those were so fun.
He's really rehabilitated
him. Yeah, he really gave him a nice image, like, schluff. But, like, because this is, like, our last question. Like, 30 minutes goes by so quickly.
Aww.
But, like, what's, like, the most interesting thing that you've learned about, like, the difference between, like, English and American accents or, like, the development of the thing? Like, what's, like, the most, like, King Henry the VIII ass, like, right after he, like, beheaded Anne Boleyn, he was, like, guillotine is what this is called or something. Like, what's, like, the most interesting story?
So there are loads of things that I think there's resentment towards U.S. English in Britain that doesn't happen the other way around, despite what our country did to your country. So in Britain, people would be like, ah, disgusting Americanism. And a lot of those words were originally British. Ah. So we will spell things I-S-E instead of I-Z-E. And look at me, I translated it for you. But originally, the British spellings was I-Z-E at the end of words.
For legalize?
Like or realize, something like that. And then, I can't remember, like 100 or 200 years ago, we started spelling it the other way. And now when people see it, they're like, ah, it's an American spelling. But it wasn't.
It used to be R-E-A-L-I-Z-E, like in the day, like forever ago.
In Britain.
In Britain, it was.
Yeah.
It was realized, like, and then 200 years ago, they're like, actually, that's how the Americans are. We're going to, like, change it to an S.
Yes,
like, we
exactly.
want to be contrarian.
Yeah, because a lot of the time, they just wanted to put difference in between.
It's like they're like, if you don't want to fucking be our boyfriends anymore, or whatever,
fine.
We're going to spell everything different.
Yes. No, but it was like that. So I think in the U.S., there were some efforts to be unlike your old invaders. And that is legit. And then in Britain, it was like, oh, well, you did modernizing. Fuck that.
We're, like, literally coming together and, like, healing the wounds of, like, the Revolutionary War, you and
so.
I.
I hope, finally, this is how it happens.
We really are. Like, we're just, like, bridging gaps.
Yeah, but we're all just people. We're all just dealing with our pain.
We are.
Different spellings. That's the thing. Like, none of these words predate humanity. And so when people get hung up on the right way to do things, you're like, well, it's all an invention. I used to be such a pedant. I used to carry around all this pointless anger. And the thing with doing the show, I'm like, ah, just live and let live. Can you understand me? Can I understand you? Well, it's fine.
And that's all we really need.
It's all we really need, Jonathan. When will we get it?
This is, like, such a gorgeous 30 minutes.
Oh, well, I'm so delighted that you let me come and speak with you.
Thank you for coming. And then where can people find you? Where do people need to, like, know where you are?
Oh, so my podcast, The Illusionist, is at theillusionist.org. And I have another one called Answer Me This, which is answermethispodcast.com.
Love. Are you on the gram or Twitter?
I am on both at Helen Zaltzman.
And we're going to put those links. Right, so people can follow you.
Well, that's so generous.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. And thanks for the British accenting. I enjoyed it.
Hear that, Tan?
Yeah. 1-0 to you, Jonathan.
You've been listening to Getting Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness. My guest this week was Helen Zaltzman. Helen's podcast is called The Illusionist, and you can find it over on the Radiotopia Network. You'll find links to Helen's work in this episode description of whatever you're listening to this show on. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at JVNDumDums if you aren't already. And you're not a dumdum, I love you so much, you're not a dumdum, I don't even know what came over me to say that. Our theme music is Freak by Quinn. Thank you so much to her for letting us use it. And if you enjoyed our show, girl, subscribe on Apple Podcasts for me. Just help me out a little bit. Tell your grandma how to subscribe. Download it on her phone. If she listens to it, honestly, I don't really care. It's a numbers game, honey. It's a sad world, but it's true. So, get your friends, get your neighbor, get your teacher. Tell everybody about it. Don't be annoying. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. But if you want to promote Getting Curious, I would appreciate it. Because this is me appreciating you, appreciating me, appreciating us, forging a path forward in this world that we call life, honey. I just love you guys so much. And Quinn, thank you so much for letting me use your song. You're amazing. And love you guys. See you next time on Getting Curious.